Hello guys, welcome to another episode of Thriller Podcast. Today we are discussing the news, a Bitcoin exchange executive kidnapping. What? And then we're also discussing a recap of what happened over Christmas break. And then in our main topic, we're discussing Ripple and its potential. Is a ripening happening? All coming up on Thriller Podcast starting now.
Welcome to Thriller with Carl Gonzalez, broadcasting from Austin, Texas. Via SoundCloud and supported by listeners like you.
It's time for the news. 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 Thriller with Carl Gonzalez.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It feels so good to be back. Not even kidding. It feels awesome to be back. And this whole week has been just a mirage of craziness going on in the crypto world. We're going to dive into that in Coin Talk, but let's first jump into the news. So, kidnapping a Bitcoin exchange executive showed importance of financial privacy. This coming directly from Cointelegraph. So, earlier this week, BBC initially reported that Lerner was kidnapped outside of his office in Kyiv, Ukraine on December 28th by a group of individuals who dragged him at knife point to a black Mercedes and drove off the scene. At the time, they said, despite the situation, the exchange is working as usual. We also want to stress that nature of Pavel's job doesn't assume access either to storages or any personal data of users. So everything, all the money's safe is what they're saying. Within 2 days after the disappearance of Lerner, the Financial Times revealed that Lerner has paid more than $1 million to an armed gang as a price for his freedom. That's crazy. So he was kidnapped by an armed gang for the purpose of extorting bitcoins. We have operative information that he paid more than $1 million worth of bitcoins. After 1.5 days, he was then released in a state of shock. He got very lucky that he remained alive. So crazy. It's pretty interesting how this happened over the holidays. But what's even more interesting is that he paid them. they're going to come back after him. He paid him Bitcoin, but you know they're just gonna keep pulling from that well. I hate to say that, but it's kind of like, you guys seen that movie Ransom with Mel Gibson? You know, he like refuses to pay him. This is nuts.
This is your ransom. Wait, I want to see this. $2 million in unmarked bills, just like you wanted. But this is as close as you'll ever get to it. You'll never see $1 of this money. Because no ransom will ever be paid.
Yeah, Mel Gibson's fucking crazy, man. Especially in that movie. That was just crazy. But yeah, man, you know, it sucks that he got kidnapped. And gosh, that's just nuts. That's what I'm saying, guys. Just make sure that you keep everything private. If you got to use alter egos on the internet, then by all means do it. It's just nuts. So in our next piece of news, we have mining with energy from humans. Is it really possible? So it's pretty interesting. According to this Netherlands-based technology company called Speculative.Capital, they have pioneered a project that explores the possibility of harnessing energy from idle human subjects. Reminds you of anything? The Matrix, that's what I thought too. The technology is pretty nifty. As small thermoelectric generators harvest the temperature differential between the subject's body temperature and the surrounding ambient temperature of the room, the electricity generated is then used to power mining rigs that mined recently created cryptocurrencies that promise to create good future growth and value. In total, the subjects provided enough power for the computers to mine for 212 hours. Holy shit. That's just over 8 days, and they claim to have unlocked 16,594 coins during that time. Of course, they use cryptocurrencies like Vertcoin, Starkcoin, Dash, Lyst, Litecoin, Ethereum. You know, easy stuff. So it's pretty nuts. So they said, if you have an NVIDIA 1060 6 gigabyte graphics card in your computer, you can expect to get a cache rate of about 19 megahertz at 80 watts when mining Ethereum. So going with Crypto Compare's current calculations, you would only be able to mine 0.002487 of Ethereum a day. That is just using the body of the harness for your bodysuit. The idea is pretty admirable. It's pretty exciting. It sounds nuts. Maybe one day we're in the future, we're like working or whatever all day. We have a, you know, we're just sitting down all day and working, and Maybe we're mining Bitcoin while we're doing that. Pretty nuts. But I thought that was pretty interesting from Cointelegraph. That's all we have pretty much in news. There's some other news that happened, but those are the two. Well, the main story was that whole craziness with the kidnapping. Let's go ahead and jump into our new segment. Interesting video of the day.
Cars. Interesting video of the day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So I went ahead and added this new segment just because sometimes I just run out of tips. I just really just run out of tech tips. So we're gonna do what we're gonna do on a weekly basis. We're gonna swap between interesting video of the day or tech tip of the day. We're gonna have both, but they're gonna be interchangeable now. I'm pretty much all out of tips at this point. So if you guys have any, send them my way. Until then, I'm going to start showing you some interesting videos. So they're all going to be Bitcoin related, so you don't have to worry about like some crazy video I just find randomly on the internet. This one's pretty interesting, and I highly recommend you guys check it out. It's all in Chinese, so unless you know Mandarin really well. So what's interesting about this is that it's from Motherboard. As you guys know, Vice is a big news company, and they have this specific YouTube channel called Motherboard, and they release tons of stuff on there. Interesting documentaries, everything from reptilians all the way up until Bitcoin, and to politics. This video is called Life Inside a Secret Chinese Bitcoin Mine. Check it out.
现在去我们长城的机房，就是矿场。大连是整个矿工行业里面算是一个比较特殊的，因为它的环境、空气质量，还有一个条件相对是比较好的。其他城市的目前的矿场，条件都比较艰苦，而且矿工的生活也是很枯燥的。
So right there, who was talking was Jin Yin. He's a Bitcoin mine manager. And don't worry, it has subtitles, so you can actually watch it. It's only about a 10-minute video. Highly recommend it. I'll put it inside the show notes, the link. But it's super fascinating. It really gets you to understand how big Bitcoin really is on just a scale level. And this particular mining group only mines, I think, approximately about 3% of all the Bitcoin in the world. So it's pretty interesting. I thought you guys would like to check it out. So now let's go ahead and jump into Coin Talk.
It is time for Coin Talk.
So this is probably going to be the longest Coin Talk ever, just because there's so much to cover. And so first off, I do want to thank our new patrons. We actually got 1, 2, 3 new patrons over the holiday, and I really appreciate you. We have Jean-Philippe Villamua. He donated at $1 a month. And then we have Filippo again at $1 a month. And then we have Josine at $5 a month. So she's going to get a lot more perks, which is pretty cool. I really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for joining the Patreon and becoming a part of the Thriller Army. Josine is actually a Thriller producer at $5 a month. So thank you so much, Josine. I really appreciate it. I've had so much fun talking to all you guys over the holiday break. And then we had who else was it over them before them? We had, two other people. Let me see who they were. I remember. Yep. The other ones were John Bueller and Joseph Aben, who was the first guy. So thank you guys too as well. Just want to say thank you so much. You guys are doing awesome, providing me with extra stuff to do here on the Patreon, which is pretty cool. And it's just really inspiring to see that you guys are backing me, this money's every month. So it makes me accountable, and it makes you more motivated at the same time, which is pretty cool. I like both those things. So Just want to say thank you. And then if anybody else wants to join the Patreon, be sure to check it out, patreon.com/thrillerpodcast. We have tons of rewards. We have a producer level, which Josine is now. She's a Thriller producer. And then we also have a executive producer level, which I don't expect any of you guys to subscribe to. I just made that third tier just for the whales. I'm calling them the corporate sponsors. Eventually, you know, because this podcast is growing, guys. We're now at 1.5 listens a week, which is, I think, is phenomenal, especially just for cryptocurrency. And you guys have sent me tweets and told me, you know, what you want to hear on the podcast. And I'm doing my best to, you know, do that. And I think over time, you know, that's just going to increase. And we, by the end of the year, who knows, we might be at like, you know, 50,000, 100,000 listens a week, which is crazy to think about. But I remember when we first started, it was literally like 20 listens episode, and now we're getting like 500 listens an episode almost. So it's pretty nuts, guys. But yeah, I made that third tier, and that's going to be a Thriller executive producer tier. But I don't expect any of y'all to sign up for that. I've only made 3 spots for that. But that's just for, you know, for a company or for a big whale, like somebody who with an agenda, who wants me to, you know, to share their, you know, share their sponsorship, on a weekly basis. So I've only kept it to 3, and then hopefully we do get some of those people, because that'll give me the monetary supplement that I need to make this podcast grow, because I want to do some live shows and do some live streaming and start doing some merch for you guys as well too, because I know a lot of you have been saying that you wanted some Buy Bitcoin, Save the Fucking World t-shirts. So that's coming hopefully down the pipe. So with that, let's go ahead and get into our disclaimer.
Remember, Thriller Podcast does not give financial advice. He cannot tell the future, even if he thinks he can. He is just some dude trying to save the world one Satoshi at a time.
All right, guys. So it's been a crazy break. Literally from, I want to say, the last time we talked, which was, I think it was Thursday of second to last week of December. So it's been almost 2 weeks now. A lot has happened. So let's kind of recap what happened. So first off, Bitcoin took a huge dump. It literally went to $20,000, and it's currently right now at $13,000. What happened? I know a lot of you have been asking me. My brother's been contacting me on a daily basis, wondering what's going on. The way I look at it, and this is just my point of view on the whole Bitcoin thing, a couple things happened. One, people started pulling profits. You know, a lot of people were waiting to the end of the year to start pulling profits so they can, you know, pay their taxes. That's here in America. But as we know, Bitcoin is a world currency as well. There's also some things going on in South Korea where they were going to ban Bitcoin or of some sort. So that went on as well. There was also a lot of people with the whole Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin thing that were doing pump and dumps from Bitcoin and moving it over to Bitcoin Cash. That was going on as well. It was just, Bitcoin was getting attacked in a lot of different ways. You know, some, you know, from its own doing, and some from, you know, just from people, you know, strategically, you know, going after it. It kind of sucks because I lost some money with Bitcoin. I didn't lose that much, maybe like $100, but still, you know, all that Bitcoin that I put in right before the break, thinking it was going to shoot up to 25,000, it sucks. But yeah, do I see it turning around? I definitely do see it turning around. I don't see Bitcoin, you know, staying at a low level. It just has too much value. There's a lot of different companies and a lot of different exchanges that are just already entrenched in Bitcoin. I hate to say it, that it's gonna take some time for Bitcoin to continue to, you know, go down. I don't see it going down in the near future. I think it can rise. 13,000 is definitely a bargain right now. It just kind of sucks because, you know, the transaction fees were something that's caused it as well. But I wouldn't turn your back on Bitcoin just yet. I really wouldn't. I definitely do see, you know, the holidays around this time of year, money's a little bit more tighter for everybody. And not only that, it's a new year, so new money needs to be pumped into just every altcoin in general. So I wouldn't take all my money out of Bitcoin. If you bought in pre $13,000, I think it's safe to say that Bitcoin should stay above 10,000. Will it rise up to 20, 25,000? I think it can. I think it can later in the month, even later in February. I think it will start doing that. We'll see what happens. It's going to be something that we're going to monitor on a day-to-day basis. Right now, the future is uncertain for Bitcoin. That is the truth. But I think it's going to be fine in the long run. So there's that. Another thing that happened over the holiday break is Ripple. And we're going to dive into that in our main topic. But one of the biggest things that I thought was crazy was the whole Verge thing. If you guys haven't been following Verge was a coin that we recommended here on Thriller Podcast, you know, maybe like a month ago, 3 weeks ago, somewhere around there. And it was at 0.9 cents. We recommended a buy on that. And then over the holiday break, just catastrophe all over the place. There were people attacking Verge, saying it's, you know, it's this, it's that. They were supposed to release their new Wraith protocol and you know, at the end of December, which actually happened last night, but it kind of came out really, well, not finished. So that happened as well, which caused, you know, Verge to just shoot back down. Now it's currently at 17 cents at the time of this recording. It got as high as 25 cents last night, right before pump and dump. But there's just a lot of drama going on with McAfee. And then there's this guy named XVG Whale on Twitter. And Verge is just chaos right now. I actually lowered my... Just a lot of that was going on. And the way I look at it, guys, you know, if there's a coin that you believe in, then back it, right? But if there's a coin that you believe in and there's just tons of, you know, FUD going on around it, and there's just tons of things going on, that's a sign to maybe lower your holdings on it. What I ended up doing was I ended up holding it just as long as so I can recoup some money on it. As soon as I made my money back on it, I went ahead and put that somewhere else. And then I went ahead and just kept the rest of it. Now I'm holding some Verge. Not a lot of it though. Not a lot of it. Not as much as I was before. This is going to be one that I'm just going to have to wait and see. I do believe Verge will be a valuable currency in the near future. It just sucks that all this happened while everything was going on with the cryptocurrency market. All the coins were going down. It was just bad all in general. A lot of people were pulling out of it. Everybody thought, you know, cryptocurrency was done. It's not, guys. It's not even close to being done. It's just the end of the year, and a lot of people were pulling out. I think what we'll see here in the next, in this coming year, because we're in 2018 now, I think this is going to be a phenomenal year for cryptocurrency, and I think we're going to see huge gains. We just got to make sure that we pick the right horses now. I think the time of just guessing on some of these coins, like, I don't want to put any coins on blast right now just yet, but there's a lot of coins that we bet on that, you know, we took risk on. I don't think we can take those risks anymore in 2018. I feel like that was just a 2017 version of it. I think what we're seeing now is smarter money coming in here, and we're going to have to make strategic bets on some of these coins. That's why I believe in coins like Cardano and Stellar and Ripple. And I think Verge can overcome that in time. I just think it's going to take them a lot longer than I first anticipated. But you know, you can never predict these things. You really can't. You don't know which way it's going to go. You know, it's just crazy. It's crazy. It's a thrill ride. It's everything that we think it is. So those are the two things. Now let's jump into the coin market cap. So if you look here, we can see that Ripple currently right now is at $2.22. Gosh, it's just climbing. We look at Ethereum. It's at $763. I honestly am going to start holding more Ethereum this year. Whenever I do anything with exchanges, I'm going to just be holding that in Ethereum and just do my best to hold Ether. I feel like Ether has a good chance of breaking out this year. So I'm going to try to do more of that. Try to split my holdings of Bitcoin and Ether into those two altcoins, just as a hold kind of thing. kind of think of it, I look at it like kind of like a banking account, leaving all my money in Ether, whatever. It's not invested in other coins. We look at Bitcoin Cash is at $2,400. So it's down 5%. Bitcoin Cash is still going to be a valuable coin this year. But it's just one that we're going to have to wait and see until this market gets out of its slump that it's in right now. Cardano got as high as 75 cents over the weekend, which was awesome to see because it's finally well deserved. And I feel Cardano is just going to keep pumping, especially with their new release, their new roadmap release here in the next 5 days. We look at Litecoin. Litecoin's at 228, so it's down from $300 where it should have stayed at. I think it can get back up there, though, here pretty soon. So we got IOTA at $3.57. IOTA is one that I still have some. I'm hoping it can get above $4, but it looks like it's just been struggling trying to get above $4 here. But with some of these new rollouts that they're having here pretty soon, we'll see if it can become the Internet of Things coin that everybody thinks it can be. NEM has just been doing phenomenal. This is at $1.03 now. We saw it earlier last month at 49 cents. I should have bought in at the time, but, you know, can never tell with these things. Dash is at $1,000. I'm still bullish on Dash. I think Verge getting up to where it's at right now. I don't think it can give Dash a run for its money this year, but I think it could definitely compete with Monero, which is at currently at $348. So Monero looks pretty good right now. We look here at Stellar. Stellar is on the rise. It was at, I believe, 25, 24 cents here a couple days ago. It's up 23%. Now it's at 42 cents. This is one that we've always predicted was going to do very well. This is a safe, solid coin, Stellar, along with Cardano, along with Ripple. Those are all safe, solid coins that you can invest in if you're looking, you know, for, if you're not looking for a high risk coin. Those are the ones you want to invest in. We got EOS at $8. We got Ethereum Classic at $34. That's awesome to see Ethereum Classic going up. So Tron is another one that took a giant leap forward. It's now at four cents. Tron is another one on the rise, guys. This came up at the same time Verge did. And I recommended both of them, Tron and Verge. But Tron looks like it's on its way up. They just hired some new developer, I believe, from Alibaba. So they're going to be making moves this year. Tron could be up to 40 cents here pretty soon. Then we got Verge at 17 cents. Gosh. Verge is just a crazy whirlwind. I don't recommend investing in Verge right now. It's so high at 17 cents. I just don't. I would say wait on this one. Let's wait a month and see where Verge is at. I just don't think it's a good investment right now, especially with everything that's going on with it. Just a lot of drama in that coin that just needs to be worked out. And I think time will heal all wounds, as they say. So definitely do not invest in Verge right now. That is my recommendation for sure. I think if you got in at 0.9 cents when we said to, yeah, you made 17 times your money right now. So that's good, but I would not invest in now. $20 per list coin. Dang, dude. List just shot straight up. Gosh, that's awesome. And then we got Zcash at $552. We got Tether at $1. Got Dogecoin at 0.8 cents. So there was a time when I think Doge surpassed a penny over the holiday break. It was nuts because I have like 5,000 Dogecoins or something like that. And there's people with hundreds of thousands of Dogecoins because it used to sell at, you know, 0.3 cents at one time. You know, it was really low. And right now it's at 0.8 cents. It's, who knows? I don't know why Doge is seeing an increase as of late, but it's pretty funny. It is funny. We got Steam at $3.74. We got Status at 24 cents. There's been a lot of talk about this coin, Status. I need to do some research on that one. We got ARK at $7.68. We got Salt at $11.95. I think that's pretty much it. We got Redcoin. So Redcoin's another one that's on the rise. A lot of people have been talking about that one. It's currently at a penny. I think it doubled here at 2 cents. I believe it was earlier last week. So that's another one. Vertcoin at $6.66. And then Game Credits Coin at $4.21. So for right now, I would say if you guys want really safe bets to put your money in, it would definitely be Ripple, Ethereum, Cardano, let's see here, Stellar. Those are the ones that I could say those are safe. Your money's safe there. You won't see large decreases. You'll see increases over time, but not large decreases. If you guys want to take some high risk, I would say NEM. You know, it's currently at $1.03. It could go up. And if you guys are looking, you know, high risk would be Bitcoin Cash. I'm just getting honest. I'm just telling you what I see. I'm not saying Bitcoin Cash is high risk. I'm just saying that I'm going to start giving you guys really accurate depictions of all these coins of how I see them. And I think Bitcoin Cash is high risk right now just because I'm not sure what's going to happen, especially with Bitcoin would be high risk right now as well. Not sure what's going to happen with those two. We're just going to have to wait and see. They're going to have to get along eventually, you know. Here, let's see. And then Litecoin, I think that can rise up here pretty soon. I don't see it staying at $200 here. I think Charlie Lee leaving did make an impact with Litecoin for sure. I think if he would have stayed with Litecoin, probably would have been better off. But I think over time it can increase. It's still a great utility coin. I love Litecoin. I think it's a great utility coin. But, you know, maybe we won't see those huge gains happening, you know, like we thought we were. And that's what I'm saying with cryptocurrency. It's such a day-to-day, you know, wave, man. It's just a lot going on, a lot of currencies to manage. But if you guys stay connected to Thriller Podcast, I will make sure to do my best to give you guys the information that you need on a daily basis. EOS looks really good at $1.05. I wouldn't call that high risk, but I got out of it just because. Or actually, I'm sorry. It's a 886. I wouldn't call it high risk. I just would say that make sure to get out before June because you're gonna have to do this whole other work that's just bogus, in my opinion. Tron is one that I feel could be a very valuable coin here pretty soon. We might see it shoot up to 20 cents here by the end of the week. I wouldn't be surprised. It's making moves, guys. And they're just going to keep releasing more. They're just really good at marketing. That's another reason. And I think that's all we have for Coin Talk. So in our... Oh, also, if you guys have any questions, feel free to hit me up on Twitter, hit me up on our Patreon. Whatever you need, let me know. I'll do my best. I know over the holiday break, a couple people asked me about some coins, and I did my best to explain as I could. So if you guys have any questions, hit me up on Patreon, tweet at me, Instagram, everything, Snapchat, let me know. And I'll do my best to get back to you guys. Tomorrow I go back to work, so probably won't be as reachable during the day, which would be Central Standard Time. But after that, I could definitely help you out. And I think that's it. So let's go ahead and get into our main topic. Today we're going to be discussing Ripple and the Rippening, as they're calling it. Let's dive into our main topic right now.
Time for today's main topic.
Oh my God, Ripple, 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 Ripple. So it's happening, guys. Fucking huge banks donated a shit ton of money to Ripple. We got Ben Bernanke backing this coin. And we have all the banksters in the world. It looks like they're winning, guys. It looks like they're winning. A lot of people hate this coin. I'm one of them. I do hate this coin. You know, I hate what it stands for. I hate that it's, you know, taking over. It sucks. But I tell you one thing, I'm making a fuck ton of money right now with Ripple, and that sucks too. But the way I look at it, guys, is if you're investing in Ripple, make sure you invest in other altcoins to compete with it. I have some Ripple. I also have some Stellar. Stellar XLM coin is competing directly with Ripple. It is not a centralized coin like Ripple. So just remember that, and remember that this version that you're getting of me talking about Ripple is biased. It's very biased. So don't just listen to me when it comes to Ripple. Go check out other YouTube channels. I think Data Dash is probably one of the other guys. I don't think he's on the Ripple train, but check him out on YouTube. He's one guy that I definitely look to for his view on it, just because sometimes he has a different view than me. And I like to keep an open mind to these things. But I can tell you right now, this is not going to be a fair assessment of Ripple. This is just going to come straight from somebody that is not a fan of it. But I do see the utility of it. So first, let's jump into the CEO and his explanation of what XRP really is.
There's no question, and I think as some of your earlier participants, you know, said, there's a lot of hype in this space, but I think there's also a lot of reality. And Ripple's been very focused on how do we create real utility and solve a real problem. And in this case, it's for cross-border payments, which is a multi-trillion dollar problem. And if we could reduce the friction there using blockchain technologies, we think we can create a lot of value for consumers, for banks, for the whole ecosystem.
And I think the scariest thing about Ripple that most people don't realize is that its max supply is actually 100 billion. 100 billion XRP coins. Another thing people don't tell you about is that whenever you have a wallet, like a Ledger Nano S, or even there's a Toast wallet here on iOS, I believe there's another Ripple wallet for Android. Whenever you create a wallet and you host your coins on there, you're going to be unable to withdraw the remaining 20 XRP coins. So say you have 100 Ripple coins, you can only send 80 of those. 20 belong to the wallet. That's another thing people don't tell you about. Crazy thing is, probably one of the most thing, the thing that drives me nuts, the thing that I hate the most, is that people try to say that this coin is decentralized. Oh, it's a decentralized currency. It's decentralized, decentralized, decentralized. This is not true. It is a centralized coin. This is the main problem with Ripple. What people don't understand, when you have something that's centralized, where it's located in you know, one server or one node across, you know, maybe there's like 5-10 nodes across, you know, the world, and Ripple is you know, is able to get these speeds right now is because it's all centralized. Bitcoin is not centralized. It's decentralized. So that's why you see some of the slowing speeds. It's still fast, in my opinion. Litecoin is another decentralized coin as well. It's still fast. Ethereum, decentralized as well. That's what I'm saying, guys. Ripple is a centralized coin. This is why they're able to get those fast fees. I do see them trying to become decentralized in the future. And there is a video right now of their lead developer talking about them trying to become decentralized. So check this out.
My question, as impressive as RippleNet is there room for improvement in regards to speed, scalability, and the company in general? As Steve Jobs would say, can we make it better?
RippleNet scales horizontally. It's a server-to-server kind of protocol, kind of like TCP is, and so you don't have a centralized ledger that limits scalability. So you don't really have scaling issues with RippleNet itself. There's definitely room for improvement in the company, though. Obviously, we're trying to target more payments. We're trying to create more XRP liquidity. We're trying to expand all over the place.
So the next one's from Daddy Crypto, awesome Twitter handle name. What are you most proud of amongst the past 5 years of achievements, and what is next? What is the next technical challenge for XRP? From Daddy Crypto.
I think probably the proudest achievement has to be the team that we've built here. I mean, I can't take full credit for that, but I think I can take some credit for that, and as particularly on the technical side and particularly on the XRP ledger side. We've just acquired a group of people who are just phenomenally talented and who are so aligned on what we're trying to accomplish. I think that's just, it's just unbelievable. This technical challenges for XRP, there really aren't that many technical challenges left for XRP. Decentralization is mostly an execution challenge, and in terms of just, you know, sort of gradual improvements. But we do have a lot of technical challenges in the ecosystem that we're building around XRP, with how will liquidity be provided for payments, integrating Interledger with XRP. Those kinds of areas, we still do have a lot of technical execution to complete, particularly with what we're doing with liquidity, bridging live payments, and those areas are the areas where there's a lot of technical focus.
So his name is David Schwartz. He's a chief cryptographer for Ripple. He used to work at Litecoin. It's pretty hilarious. He said that decentralization is an execution challenge, not a technical challenge. The scary thing is he said that Ripple scales horizontally and it's a server-to-server over TCP/IP. That's fucking scary, guys. It's crazy because it doesn't sound like they're even looking at decentralization in the future. So that tells me that they want to keep these speeds. They want to keep it the way it is. They don't want to... he sounds like he's pretty much done completing the whole project, it sounds like to me. So... Yeah, guys, this is not good long term. I think in the short term, yeah, this makes sense for Ripple. They want to get in all these banks. The only way to do that is, you know, put it over, you know, over servers that they own. That's centralized. That's not decentralized. It doesn't even sound like decentralization is even in their roadmap at this point. The chief cryptographer just basically kind of skates over the whole subject when he asks them about it. Yeah, this is not looking good. In the short term, yes, will you make some money? Yes, you'll make some money off of Ripple. Goddamn right you will. But it's kind of sad that they have 100 billion of these coins. There's only 38 billion in circulating supply. They have another, what is that, like 62 billion coins that they haven't released yet. At any point, they could dump it into the market and cause the fucking coin just to drop like that. I'm not saying they're going to do that. I'm just saying there's market manipulation in the future if they want to. It's there. It's there for them to do that. That's one of the main things that people say about Bitcoin is that Satoshi Nakamoto owns, I believe it's like 2 million coins or something like that. So at any point, he could come back in and dump all those 2 million coins and cause Bitcoin to drop. And, you know, and they say that could be considered an attack against Bitcoin. If he wanted to take it down, he could. Well, what the fuck's stopping Ripple from doing that? If they wanted to manipulate the market, they could. You know, and this is, they have 62 billion of these coins on reserve, not 2 million, 62 billion. That's over half, guys. Yeah. I'm not a fan of Ripple. I've never been a fan of Ripple. I don't like what it stands for. I think by you backing Ripple, you're basically handing over your money to the government, telling them to please save us and basically keep doing what you're doing. Give all the money to the central banks. This is not what cryptocurrency is about. This was never what the original intention was. It was never to, you know, to create a centralized coin. What the fuck's the difference if that's the point, you know? Why not just keep it the way it is? Why just keep the dollars, you know? What's the point of creating another cryptocurrency, digital coin like Ripple, if it's just going to be the exact same thing that we already have in place right now? Decentralization is where it's at. That's the only way to keep this all secure. The only way. Check this out from Andreas.
So first of all, decentralization is not new. Decentralization, in fact, is the original form of organization. Decentralization means person to person. And it's the system of organization we've used in society for as long as society existed. In fact, centralization is the new invention. Centralization is the invention of agrarian economies. Centralization is how you organize cities to scale once you have density of population. We needed something to organize, and out of that came politics, religion, and organizational systems that centralized control so that you could scale agrarian societies. And now we're talking about decentralization again, and the reason is because we're trying a different way to scale. Centralization and decentralization, fundamentally, if you think about it, is a matter of architecture. It's the architecture of power. It's how you organize power in a society. And centralization is a system of organization of power that looks like a pyramid. It's a hierarchical system of power. And it's very efficient. It's very efficient because it allows very large numbers of people to make decisions quickly and efficiently in a way that allowed agrarian societies to grow to tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, and now tens of millions and hundreds of millions of people within a single cohesive society. Centralized organizations, a hierarchy, allows you to marshal resources. Marshal, of course, being the word for raising armies, which is probably one of the most important resources that was organized by centralized societies. But hierarchy has a fatal flaw. And the fatal flaw of hierarchy as an organizational principle is that as it scales, it becomes more and more corrupted. If you build a pyramid, the wider the base, the higher the top. the further apart the peak of the pyramid is from the base. And a system that is hierarchical and looks like a pyramid concentrates power from a very wide base to a pinnacle of power, the highest position of power at the top of the pyramid. Hierarchical systems are systems of concentration of power. And what happens with human beings when you concentrate power? Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. The higher up in the pyramid, the more corrupt. It becomes a nexus that attracts sociopaths. And the problem with centralized systems of societal organization is that we can only scale them so far before they really, really start attracting the worst sociopaths imaginable. If you have a village with 100 people and you build a hierarchical system with a village council that represents the 100 villagers, you don't have a lot of power. And okay, maybe your crazy uncle ends up being the sociopath in charge of the 100 villagers. They can't really do a lot of damage. You widen that pyramid and you create a system of hierarchical power that has 100 million people at the bottom, and you will attract a very big sociopath to rise to the top of that pyramid. And they will arrive at a position of power that is very far removed from the bottom of that pyramid. Decentralized systems are an architecture that represents a flat system. Every peer is equal. And so in a decentralized system, the problem is that you cannot scale horizontally and continue to make decisions efficiently. That is, until we invented network protocols. And with network protocols, what we can do now is take flat systems and scale them to millions of participants and still make decisions efficiently. We can take a flat system like the Bitcoin blockchain, and every 10 minutes we can hold a vote and decide what the current state of consensus is in a flat system that now scales to millions of participants. We can take the internet and scale out freedom of information to 3 or 4 billion people without hierarchy. So the reason we're talking about decentralized systems again, after thousands of years in which centralized systems dominated, is because we now have the ability through network protocols to scale decision-making in a flat system across millions of participants. But decentralized systems are not efficient. They're not efficient at making decisions. If you want efficiency, you build a pyramid. What is the truth? Whatever the guy at the top says. What do we do? Whatever the guy at the top says. How fast can you make a decision? As fast as the guy at the top. But the problem with that is corruption. Not only do you attract sociopaths, but the bigger you build a pyramid, the more of a sociopath you attract. And you get this disparity of power, this enormous disparity of power between the top and the bottom of the pyramid. Why would anyone at the bottom of the pyramid agree to the system?
Yeah, and as you can tell, he goes into even more detail. I'll put the link in the show notes. But this is what's at stake here. This is why centralized systems like Ripple do not work. This is what we're trying to avoid with the cryptocurrency movement right now. This is why, you know, you'll hear me say buy Bitcoin, save the fucking world. You know, it's these decentralized systems. It's the protocols, the blockchain, everything that's being built right now to roll this stuff out. It's all there for anybody to do it. And this is why I believe in coins that are like Cardano that are trying to roll this stuff out. You know, Ripple, yes, if we're looking just at a strictly monetary value kind of point right now, if we're just looking to become investors and that's it, I guess, yeah, buy Ripple. It's a safe bet. It's probably the safest bet you're going to have in cryptocurrency just because it's backed by the central government or the central banking system. You know, they can lie and say that it's not, that it just has people that are associated with them, you know, investing into Ripple. But come on, guys, give me a break. I don't see any other coins like Cardano that are doing way better things than Ripple on CNNBC, you know. That's what I'm saying. It's that kind of cachet that they get for having backers like they have, you know, invested into Ripple. They get the front page headlines. They get on CNBC. They get straight in the front of the line, and everybody knows about the company and thinks that they're creating new, exciting blockchain technologies. But in actuality, they're not. It's just a centralized server. What's the fucking point of that, you know? Yes, if you guys want to invest in it, I highly recommend doing it. It's a safe bet. It's probably going to be the easiest, you know, I don't know. It's $2.22. I think if you were to buy at 20 cents, you know, maybe like 3 months ago, you would have, you know, 500% earnings, whatever the hell that is. If you invest now, yeah, it could easily be $10 here, probably by the beginning of February. No big deal. But I mean, for money, after you recoup all that money, after you make all that money, we're still stuck in the same situation that we're in. This is why I think if you're going to invest in Ripple, then invest in it. But know what you're buying into and know what you're backing. You're backing a centralized coin. You're backing the way it is now. You're not backing change. You're not hoping for anything to happen in cryptocurrency. If anything, you're putting your vote against it. And that's why I wanted to create this episode, so I can give you guys, you know, my point of view on what Ripple really is and why it's not a coin that I can back. It's just not. Do I hold Ripple? Of course I do. I'd be stupid not to. You know, it's going to make me a shit ton of money. But I hold just as much, if not more, coins like Cardano and Stellar who are competing with Ripple, you know, indirectly, sometimes directly, you know, and Ethereum and other coins like that are trying to make a difference in the world, like Bitcoin. You know, not just Ripple. So as soon as I make my, you know, very first big gain here on Ripple, I'm out. I'm just not backing a coin like Ripple. It just doesn't feel right. It feels gross. So that's my 2 cents on Ripple. I hope you guys enjoy the show. I don't know if too many of you are going to be happy with this show. I expect a lot of angry emails at car at thrillerpodcast.club. You know, and bring it on. You know, I'd love to get into a debate. I would love to read some of your you know, points on why you love Ripple and stuff like that. I don't think they're evil. I don't think it's an evil organization. I don't even think these are evil people that are creating it. I just think that they're misinformed or they're just not making smart decisions, you know, for the greater good. And I feel like something like Ripple, if they would just try to become decentralized, if they would, you know, be upfront about their holdings of all these coins. They don't mention that in the CNBC interview. You know, there's certain things that they're not telling, you know, the consumer public. And if I can exploit some of those things to you guys so that way you're aware of it, the better you are for it. Now, don't just take my word for it. I'm heavily biased on Ripple. So go listen to other people. Go research on your own about Ripple. There's tons of other places that are doing these type of you know, coin review things, but this is my take on Ripple. This is where I stand with it. So yeah, anyways, that has been another episode of Thrill Podcast. We will see you guys back here tomorrow. Hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all those places if you guys want any questions answered or want anything that you want to see here on the show. Talk to you guys next time. Bye. If you guys are interested in more of Thriller Podcast, find us on Twitter at Thriller Podcast. You can also find us on our very active Instagram page at Thriller Podcast. I do post some snaps every once in a while on Snapchat at car-gons. If you want to find us on our website, go to thrillerpodcast.club. And finally, if you want to send us an email, go ahead at car@thrillerpodcast.club, and I'll make sure to read it on the show. Thank you. again, I just want to thank all the new patrons that have subscribed here recently. Thank you guys so much. That really made my Christmas, honestly, when I saw people, you know, subscribing to the Patreon every other day. It was awesome. And then getting all these questions from you, keep them coming. I can't wait to dive into more. We're going to probably do a Google Hangouts here on Saturday, so keep an eye out for that. So if you guys would like to support the show, head over to patreon.com/thrillerpodcast and become a part of the Thriller Army. A dollar a month subscription will get you free access to all our shows before they become live. And also, guys, remember that whenever it comes to new shows, special editions, movie reviews, everything like that, it's only getting posted on Patreon first. Some of these only just get posted on Patreon. So if you're not a Patreon subscriber at a dollar a month, you're probably missing out on some good content, especially if you love Thriller Podcast. It's only a dollar a month and you can cancel at any time. If you guys would like to support the show in a different way, check out our show notes. There's a couple links there for you to click on. Any one of those will directly support Thriller Podcast. Thanks again. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. We'll see you next time on Thriller Podcast. We are out.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to Thriller Podcast with Carr Gonzalez. Thriller Podcast wants you to have a nice day. Remember to buy Bitcoin and save the world, one Satoshi at a time.